So, November the 24th, 2024, we're going to finish up 1st and 2nd Peter today. And so we started, if you have a handout there, it says we started our study of 1st Peter on May the 12th, which was Mother's Day 2024. And we started on 2nd Peter on September 11th. I don't know why they're always hitting these big dates. And it took us about 6 months to get through these. And so, you know, to some people that might be really quick. To some people that might be really slow. So, you know, as I go through this, I'm not trying to hit every little detail or we'd be here a while. But these books that we go through are loose enough that every one of us needs to get in and study the books when we're going through them, because there's a lot of information here. Every time I go through a book, I learn more information. I learn more things that I need to do. And I did the same thing with Peter. I really like 1st and 2nd Peter. And I am convinced that if you only had one or two books of the Bible and you were saved, 1st and 2nd Peter would go a long way for you. Because if we would just put the truth that we find in 1st and 2nd Peter in our life today to live a Christian life, we'd pretty well have all the info that we would need. And yet, we have a whole Bible. And so we're going to do 60 some odd thousand Bibles or New Testaments that go to Sierra Leone. And part of the thing that I was thinking about, do we want to do New Testaments or do we want to do Bibles? And yet we can do so many more New Testaments than we can Bibles, cost-wise and production-wise. And for somebody that's just a Christian, that's already a Christian, what's going to really, can we, and I just kind of factored in, you know, the cost. And I thought, you know what, in the New Testament church, having a New Testament, and you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, You can live your life out for the Lord knowing that New Testament very well. The Old Testament's great, and I know we need it. But to get more scripture out, I just made the decision, let's do New Testaments. Because if these people get saved, having a New Testament's gonna help them. And if we can get 65,000 New Testaments out, and or versus, you know, maybe 10,000 Bibles. Let's do the 65,000. Now, once you get to a point where you want to get in depth and you need you're going to need the whole Bible. So, okay. But I'm really convinced of the New Testament books we went through, even if you just had one of them, I think God would use that in your life to give you what you need. Whether it's Colossians, whether it's 1st, 2nd Corinthians, even if it's 1st and 2nd Peter, there's enough information in that would help us to live the life that we need to be and know how to live. So both of these books, 1st and 2nd Peter, should be studied together as they're written to the same group of people. And these people were dear to Peter, and he writes to them, giving them key information that they need to live their lives for Christ. And so again, if you led somebody to the Lord and they didn't have any information, and so you would want to what? Help them out however you can. Let me give you what Bible I have or what information I have. That's what Peter is doing. He's giving them instructions that he's given to them, but it's more than that because the Holy Spirit is using that to give them what God wants them to have. So not only is Peter giving them his two cents of this is what you guys need to be doing as a New Testament church, the Holy Spirit's involved in that and the whole thing, and he's just putting a bow on it and is giving them everything they need. So the theme of 1 Peter, I'm going to ask you again because you guys know I'm going to ask you questions. So the theme of 1 Peter, it's been a while since we was in 1 Peter, is how to live for Christ through what? Well, suffering is what I'm looking for, but trials would fit in there. Because remember, over and over and over in 1 Peter, it was about suffering, that we're going to suffer. In fact, after going through that, I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm seeing suffering pop out in everything that we're doing, and not in my life, but other people's life. It's just magnified, it seems like. And so the theme of it is, you're going to suffer. If you live for the Lord, you will suffer. And the key verse that I saw was chapter 1 and verse 7 of 1 Peter. And let's read this. It says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. And our faith is represented by gold in the Bible. But those trials is talking about the suffering. And we're going to suffer as a Christian. And why is that? Because Christ suffered. And when we go through sufferings and trials in our life, God puts them in our life, not to bring us down, but that we go through them and that we learn from them and that we are a better Christian and that we are a better servant. And we're just better because we've went through those trials and sufferings. So then the theme of 2 Peter is to remember. Remember goes in your blank. The true knowledge of God. And the key verse to that is chapter, 2 Peter is chapter 1:3. And it says, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. And so Paul wants the people to remember the true knowledge of God. And if you really want to study knowledge, do a word study on knowledge, and you'll find that all through the New Testament. You see it in Colossians. We saw that when we went through that. We'll see it in Corinthians. It's knowing God. It's knowing the knowledge of God is knowing God. And you got to have his word to do that. And so he's telling them, okay, in 1 Peter, guys, you're going to suffer. And he tells them in 2 Peter, I want you guys to remember the knowledge that you have learned of God. I want you to remember the Bible that you've picked up on, because I'm not always going to be here. And not only that, we need to remember things. You ever have a bad day when, you know, you come home from work and it's been a bad day and you want to kick the dog and yell at your wife and, you know, or maybe the other way around, I don't know. But you just have a bad day. But you need to remember things in your life that are good, you know. Maybe you're having a bad time as a Christian. You gotta remember what God has given you and what we have coming up also. So it's not just to remember who God is and what he's given us, and it's to remember about what we have. It's the whole package. He wants them to remember because they're going to have bad days. They're going to go through sufferings. So that's, you put these two books together, and we'll see a combination. We're going to be suffering, and he goes, I want you guys to remember, because if you forget, you're going to go off on a tangent, and I don't want you to do that, okay? So both books give us instruction on how to live our lives now, practical advice of what to know, what to do, and what to remember. Remember, I tell you, I'm a very simple guy. And the Bible breaks down real simple, you know. I think most of us know who Greg Axe is. And so people ask Greg Axe all the time, how do you know the Bible so well? And he does. He'll break the Bible down, put it back together. He's like a watchmaker that repairs watches, and you just take everything apart on that watch and lay it out, all the little pieces, and then clean everything, put things back, and then put it all back together. Man, if I did that, it's in the trash. Okay. But Greg X is like a watchmaker. He takes the Bible and he just pulls it apart, and then he just puts it all back together. People ask him, how do you learn the Bible? He goes, well, I bought one and I read it. That's his answer. His answer is, how did he learn the Bible? He bought one and he read it. It's a simple book. Okay? And it's deep, but it's simple. Okay? And so that's why, you know, even I can get it, right? So both of these books give us instruction on how to live our lives, practical advice, what to know, what to do, and what to remember. And both of these books will relate to those in the church age as well as in the tribulation. Now, I didn't go into a lot of detail when we were going through 1st and 2nd Peter. There are some verses in here that are specifically tribulation passages. There are some that are specifically church age passages, and some that fit both. But I'll give you an example. Peter talks of those trials in the present as well as a fiery trial to come. So turn over to 1 Peter 4:12. In 1 Peter 4:12, and let's back up to verse 11. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, that's kind of strange. You have an amen in the middle of a passage. Verse 12 is where I want to get to. It says, beloved. Now, everything up until verse 12 talks about trials that you're going through. Okay? Verse 12 says, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So, when we connect what happens in the trials before verse 12 and the ones, or before 11, and then the one starting in verse 12 after that amen, it says that there is a fiery trial which is to try you yet to come. So what is a fiery trial yet to come? I'm thinking it's the tribulation in general. Any other thoughts? Paula, did you have a thought?
Well, when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, I mean, whatever burns away, whatever's left, you hope it's not, you know, because wood, hay, and stubble is going to burn.
Okay. I hadn't thought of that, but that would fit here. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. That would fit, but when I was looking at this, and it may have a double application, it's a fiery trial yet to come, which could also fit in as the tribulation, is my point. Okay? But I do like that approach. I had not seen that yet. And then we saw in 1 Peter that he wanted the churches to realize what they received when they accepted Christ. So if you remember, I know it's been a few weeks since we studied that, your blank is what goes in your blank is a transformed life. Back in 1 Peter, he starts telling the church, he starts listing things off that they received because they received Christ as their Savior. And number one, he goes, you guys have received a transformed life, a life that is incorruptible, that would not fade away, reserved in heaven, kept by God, and prophesied by the prophets. So he lists all those things out in 1 Peter. And why he does that is because they're going through trials. And so he wants them to remember all the good things they have in Christ. So when they reach these trials and they go through sufferings, they're going to continue to remember what they have and who they are now, and it won't drag them down, because he knows they're going to get dragged down. He also tells them to strengthen their minds, to be sober, to be obedient, to be holy, to reverence God, to obey the truth, love one another, and to put their trust in Christ and his word, and to put their focus on the end. The end goes in your blank. So when you have somebody going through trials and tribulations in your life, they need to realize that it's going to end at some point. there is an end. But the end that we need to be focused on is not the end, the fact that the trials are going to be over. It's going to be the end that we're going to be with Christ. We're going to be with Him, and it will be worth it all. Okay? So He's given them instruction. So basically all this is an instruction book. Okay? He's given them instruction. He gave them a list of things that they need to be, but He also gives them a list of things to get rid of in their life. So that goes in your blank, if you have one. You don't have it? I put it in there? I missed that one. Okay. So I find that interesting. In 1 Peter, He gives them a list of things to get rid of. In 2 Peter, He gives them a list of things to add. Okay? And again, the Englishes aren't here, and we took them through discipleship, and it seemed like it's always lists. Have you ever noticed when you go through studying the Bible, there's lists of things to do? These are lists of things you need to put in your life. Here's a list of things to get rid of in your life. Okay, so He went through a group of things to get rid of, and the first one was malice. Now, malice is ill will and hatred. That's something pretty good to get rid of your life, right? And then guile. We talked about guile, that it was double talk. Hypocrisy, envying, evil speaking, lies, anger, and foolish talking and gossip. All of those He mentions in 1 Peter to take these out of your life. He goes, you guys need to just wipe these out. Get them out of your life because you don't need them. They're going to drag you down. Okay? And then He taught them that they need to act as pilgrims. Pilgrims goes in your blank. And not as settlers. And I think that one kind of hit me pretty hard. Because I'm like, and when I think of that, I'm always thinking, okay, first of all, Thanksgiving season's here, right? So, pilgrims. And then the second thing I think about is the John Wayne movie where he calls everybody a pilgrim. Well, pilgrim, you know, and I'm like, why is he calling pilgrims? Pilgrims were back in the Mayflower, right? And but no, we are to be pilgrims and not settlers. And we get so focused on things in our life. We get focused on our house. We get focused on our clothes. We get focused on our jobs. We get focused on everything. And we forget. We're just passing through. Again, we're just like Jim Gardner in that movie, Support Your Local Sheriff. Oh. I'm just on my way through. I'm on my way through to Australia. Okay. And this, he never makes it to Australia, does he?
No.
He does it. That's so funny. It's so funny. He goes, well, they ask him, so why do you want to go to Australia? How many of you have seen that movie? Support Your Local Sheriff. Okay. You need to see that movie, Dean. It's an old comedy. Funny Western. And he goes, well, I want to go to the last of the frontiers. And the guy goes, they're out in the Old West then. He goes, well, I thought we were settlers, and I thought we were in the frontier. Apparently there's always one farther out. So, but we need to act like that. We need to remember that, you know. I need to really focus on that because I get so hung up with my clothes and my hairdo that I don't have time. I don't have time to do anything else.
You are a fashionista.
I am. I'm wearing my Skechers pull-on shoes too. Man. Probably that'll be a fad going across our church. Everybody will have pull-on, you know, slip-on shoes. That's right. I was actually at the Skechers store a couple weeks ago buying this pair. My other pair was wearing out. And this guy comes by and he goes, do you like Skechers slip-ons? And I go, man, I love them. And he goes, I want to try a pair. He goes, that's old people. Us people need to stick together. The guy was like 90. What's the guy, the missionary of the Dominican Republic? Lee Carter. Mm-hmm. Be like, Lee Carter, I'm talking with him out here at the harvest party, and we're sitting down, we're talking there, and I said, you're from Belton, right? He goes, yeah. I said, so, did you ever, do you, Do you know any of the people that Pat Lee, you know, used to hang around? Because they were both sports people. Pat Lee was a sports guy. And he said he was a runner. And he goes, well, I don't know. He goes, how old is Pat? And I go, I think he's like 64, 65. He goes, oh, my gosh, how old do you think I am? He goes, I'm only 52. Oh, well. I know. I just stuck it right in my mouth. I'm like, okay, well, you know. It's like the first time I went to the cardiologist after I had my heart attack, and I walk in there, and everybody looks like they're 150. I go, I have arrived. I'm 55 years old. And everybody in here is like walkers. Sonny, help me, you know. And I'm like, oh, my God. I am just totally went over the edge here. And then when I was checking it, what's that?
I was 48 when I went in
the
cardiologist.
Were you?
Yeah.
So when I checked out, there was a girl there that was probably 22. So, which made me feel bad on my side because here's a young girl that shouldn't have been there, you know.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 55, yeah. 22, no, that shouldn't be the problem. And now, it's more common and because of COVID, kids are having heart problems. So anyway, I gotta get back on track. So we're just pilgrims. We're just pilgrims. We are not to focus on this world. And you know what? That's, we need to realize that. And that's what he told them, guys. Focus on what's important. Focus on the finish line. Don't focus on the now. That's good advice for us. Peter informed them that their trial of their faith was precious to the Lord. We see that in 1:7 of 1 Peter. Let's go back and look at it. And I think I may have already read that. Verse 1:7 says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So yes, so like Paul was mentioning, when we stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to be judged of how we went through the trials and the sufferings. You know, how we went through the good times as well as the bad times, because we're going to be tried for our faith, okay? And they were a part of it. Christ suffered for us. 1 Peter 3:18, and we will also suffer for him. 2 Timothy 3:12. So Peter also gave them instructions for their husband and their wives in chapter 3. And Peter let them know that their sufferings would be part of their, you have a blank there, their testimony. Now think about this. Your sufferings, my sufferings, are part of our testimony. People will look at our sufferings and the trials to see how we go through them. And not only that, when we go through trials and sufferings and we see someone else going through trials and sufferings, we can help them out as they go through it. An instance for that is anybody that's been through cancer. You can help other people that go through cancer. Anybody that's went through any kind of sickness or health or anything like that. Any kind of trial, you know, maybe you've had money problems. Maybe you've lost your house. Maybe, you know, you've had these problems that you've got through them that you can turn around and help somebody else later on in life. But your sufferings and trials are part of your testimony. They're part of your testimony. You know, a lot of the times we have our testimony is, you know, just how bad a guy I was before I met Christ. Okay? Well, that's true. It is, but you know what? Your sufferings and the trials that you went through after salvation are probably more important than who you was before. Okay? So it's part of your testimony. So that's how we need to watch how we go through our trials and sufferings. Do you want to go to pieces or do you want to rely on the Lord? And you can tell the difference usually between a lost person and a saved person. A lost person will go to pieces when things hit them. A Christian shouldn't, because they should just take it back to the Lord and, you know, and let him deal with it. And the Lord will give them some peace also if they do that, where the lost person doesn't. So our testimony is sufferings and trials are part of our testimony. So Peter's last words in 1 Peter was to the elders, was to feed the flock, be a good leader, and God would give them a crown of joy, or basically a crown and also joy. So I read that wrong. He would give them joy and a crown. Okay, however you want it. Okay. To others, he gave this advice. Submit to the elder, submit to each other, be humble, cast your care upon Christ, be sober, be vigilant, because you're in a fight. And we know that verse, you know, be sober because we have an enemy, right? He goes about like a roaring lion. We see that in 1 Peter. And other Christians are going to go through the same sufferings and the trials that we do. So to also remember that it would be worth it all because God has called us to eternal glory. No matter what we go through in this life, God's going to call us to eternal glory. You know, there's sometimes you wonder, I'll just throw an instance out. There's things I ask questions about to the Lord all the time. Why this? Why that? You know? You know, when I was a little kid, I probably asked my mom and dad, why is the grass green, you know, sky blue and all that? I still ask questions to the Lord. Here's a question I got. Mark Trotter, why did the Lord take him so soon? Mm-hmm. You know, when he was just here for a vision conference or Bible conference, I don't remember which one. Was it the Bible conference that we did all those Bibles? Okay, and I mean within 3 months of him being here, maybe not even that long, he was gone. And I just thought at the time, I'm like, Lord, why? Here's a guy that is doing so much for you. Why? I don't know. God has his reasons, okay? And so it's going to be worth it all, no matter whether you have a short life, a long life, whatever you do, as long as you serve Christ, okay? And then 2 Peter, I didn't write as much about 2 Peter. But Peter informs the church, or the churches, the people that he's writing to, again, what to know. And then he puts in there what to watch out for and what to remember. Okay? Why? So they stay on track. Everything is to keep these people, keeping the main thing. Okay? He's giving them information because he knows his time is short. And he knows he's going to be gone and he wants these churches to continue and not fall away. Peter informs them of God's knowledge and that his knowledge pertains unto life, to godliness, to his promises, and that God has allowed us to be partakers of his divine nature. Now let that sink in. God has allowed us to partake of his divine nature. God has given a part of himself to us. Isn't it? That is just mind-blowing. He then goes on to tell them to add to their faith. So in 1 Peter said, these things I want you to take out of your life, guys. And in 2 Peter he goes, I want you to add this to your life. And I thought about this, and this really got me too when I went through this. Because I'm like, these are just some things that I have to do to put in my life so that I'm the man that God wants me to be. Okay? And this is what all of us need to do. We need to add these to our faith. Number one, virtue. And we talked about that. We talked about this list for a couple weeks, I think, because I kept going over it. Virtue is strength of mind. And another definition of this would be like the virtuous woman. You need to add the things that the virtuous woman has in her life to your life. You need to have this strength of mind. Go back and study the virtuous woman back in Proverbs. See what she does for her family. See what she does for her husband. See what she does. And it's all about serving others. Add to your faith virtue. Then knowledge. And what's knowledge really again? It's truth. And let me tell you a little bit more. It's not just truth. It's knowing God. Because to have knowledge is to know who God is. Okay? And then temperance. That's being self-restrained. Oh my goodness, people need to have that. We wouldn't have any road rage if people were self-restrained.
Sorry.
I know. Were you out last night around 2? Carrie and I had got to sleep last night, and the cops went through our subdivision about 3 times last night. With the sirens going both times. They went one direction, they turned around and went another direction, a little bit later they come back again, and I told Carrie, I said, somebody got a car. Somebody got a car. They're chasing somebody. It's terrible. You can't even get to sleep. By the time you get to sleep, here they come. Okay. So where was I? Okay.
Patience.
Add that to your life. Patience. Endurance, which is endurance. You know, we have endurance races, right? Put that patience as endurance. Okay. It's a race, guys. You gotta be patient. You gotta endure it. Godliness. And what is godliness? Add that to your life, he says. Is having a life of worship. It's being godlike. You know, you could think about, okay, I want to do this, but that really wouldn't be godlike, you know. Or you could, you know, all kinds of things you could say about that. But having a life of worship, you know, kind of like that little ring that or bracelet people used to wear, what would Jesus do? Okay. Be God, have God, add this to your, to your life, having a life of worship, being God-like. Then brotherly kindness. Oh man, do I have to do that? Brotherly kindness, having a love for your fellow Christians. And then charity. Of course, if you've studied charity, what is charity?
Love,
but it's more than just love. It's what did I put on the? Did I put anything on the handout?
Just the highest
form of love. It's basically giving yourself. You know, we say
love with an action related to it.
Okay, right. Love with action.
Agape
love. I know because we use that. So that's why in all the new Bible versions, it takes charity out and just puts love in there. Well, you know, people love all kinds of things, and it's not this. You know, I love peanuts from Texas Roadhouse. That's not the highest form of giving love that there is.
We got you covered.
I know it.
All kinds of love there.
I got to eat those 2 bags yet. They're still in my camp. Under my counter, I noticed yesterday. So, add these to your life. Put these in your life. And it's like, you have to do this. Okay? You have to put these things. Add these. Virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. You have got to do that. We have got to put these in our life. It's not natural for us. And then charity. A type of love that you are giving, okay? And he says if we put these traits in our life that we will never be barren or unfruitful in the knowledge of Christ. That's a pretty good statement right there. Peter also goes on to talk about the day of the Lord and the day of God, and we mentioned that a couple weeks ago. You guys remember the difference that I saw here? That I pointed out? Okay, the day of the Lord is basically that 1,000-year period that goes anywhere from the rapture all the way to the end of the millennium. But the day of God is basically that, I believe it's the beginning day of eternity. Okay? I don't know how that all fits in there.
So after the great
judgment. Yeah. and they all kind of fit in there. It's more of the day of God is where there, and the Bible says in 2 Peter, where there is righteousness, which leads me to believe no sin at that point. And that only takes place after the great white throne judgment in the beginning of eternity. Okay, so we talked about that and how we are, and basically, we talked about how we are to play a part in God's kingdom by being at peace, without spot, being blameless, growing in grace, and in the knowledge of Christ. He also warns us of false teachers to be aware of so that we will not be led astray. And finally, to give God the glory in our lives both now and forever. Okay? So, turn over to 1 Peter 4:11. And we've already looked at that verse once, but I want to look at it again. This is the one that has the amen in it. It says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. And if any man minister, let him do as of the ability which God giveth, colon, the God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Okay, so turn over to 2 Peter at the end of the book, and let's look at verse 18, because these two kind of go together. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Okay? So we are to give God glory in our lives now, but we're going to be giving God glory forever. You know, you got those beasts around the throne and they are saying, holy, holy, holy. And you're like, now how can they keep doing that forever and ever and ever? Apparently they're going to be. You know, I'm glad I don't have to say holy, 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 holy. I mean, that would get old after a while. A couple years into that, that'd get kind of... But I don't know what we're going to be doing. But we're going to be with Christ. We're going to be a part of Him. But we need to give God glory now in our lives. Not just when we get there. You know, there's going to be a lot of Christians that aren't giving God glory in their lives right now. They're living their lives the way they want to. We need to give God glory now as well as into the future. And that last verse in 2 Peter 3:18 is going to take us back to chapter 1. And let me go back there. Chapter 1 of 1 Peter and 5 through 7. Says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So Peter wants them to grow in the knowledge of Christ, and that growth in grace is connected with the knowledge. So you need them both. Okay, 2 Peter 1:2, and I promise I'll be done. 2 Peter 1:2, and you'll see how these books are just intertwined. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So you need both. And how do you get that? You only get it by studying and being in His Word. So guys, if you're not in this book, you're not going to grow in that knowledge. And you're not going to grow in that grace. Okay? So, again, this is simple information given to this church, and all you have to do is go back and read it. Like Greg X said, I bought a Bible and I read it. Well, he did one more step. He did what it said. Well, that's all we gotta do. We just gotta read this book, stay in it constantly, study it out, and do what it says. So when it says to take things out of your life, take those things out of your life. When it says to add some things to your life, add those things in. And guess what? We're going to have the life that God wants us to have. But it's all centered in His book, and it's all studied, and we can just study it out by reading it. Now, again, 1st and 2nd Peter, very short books, didn't take very long. You can read them in just a few minutes. But they are packed full of truth. They're packed full of information, and it's practical applications for us. All we got to do is read it and then do it. And the Bible says we will never fail. Wow, that's quite a promise. So we're going to wrap things up. I think we're going to start a real short series in December on the birth of Christ. And then we'll start another book come up, probably the first of the year. So, does anybody have any favorite books that we haven't studied so far? If you think about that, let me know. I'll consider it, maybe. And if you give me a little cash, I'll put it at the top of the list.
My vote for that would be to go through Kings.
Kings. You're just wanting to see people... You're just wanting to see people whacked, huh?
Yeah.
You're all about that.
If you want the complete Bible in one book, Isaiah. Isaiah. That's what I'm doing a study on right now.
Are you? That'd be a big study.
I'm in chapter 12.
I've
been doing this.